Coming up on Roundabout, learn about one community where pickup trucks are strictly verboten. Are states considering advertising on license plates? How dare they? And a very special Pontiac that you have to see to believe is going up for auction. Stick around for all these exciting stories and many more, only on Roundabout. Roundabout is sponsored by Advance Auto Parts. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, to get up to $30 off your next purchase. And by Tire Rack. Follow the link on our website to save up to $80.
In Long Beach, California, from Auto By Tell, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
From Knoxville, Tennessee, I'm Zach Bowman for the Autoblog.
In the Roundabout Tower of Power, I'm Eric Tritko from Rumblestrip.net.
I'm your host, Craig Cole.
And I'm producer Ben Sanders.
This is Roundabout.
Hello and welcome to Roundabout, episode number 87, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Is it really week 87?
It's actually week about 100, and we've missed a few in there.
Quiet, you.
It's the unaired episodes that we're missing.
So, like, the 6 months of practice we did before right. Going live, is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, that.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we are back. Another Friday night, another Roundabout. They're pretty synonymous by now. Mm-hmm. At least they should be.
Unfortunately.
Friday, fun, drinking with your friends, and Roundabout.
Yep. I mean, you forgot firearms.
If you want firearms, too. Great. We've got the Second Amendment here. We're going to use it.
Damn straight.
It's written on the Bill of Rights. So, and no quartering troops or whatever, right? That's the other one that matters. So, got another great show lined up for you guys today. The theme this week
is
no,
as in no, you can't, no, don't do that, or no way, go find your own tots. So we got a lineup of no themed stories that we think you're really gonna love. And helping us dig through this pile of negativity, we've got our very special guest back again, the one, the only, Zach Bowman, and perhaps you've heard of him. Thankfully, he's once again survived his annual benewing trip across the scenic James River, whose lazy bends and casually flowing waters slosh their way across 348 miles of scenic Virginia countryside.
I see you've been hitting Wikipedia.
I have. That's good.
Welcome back. Thanks, Ben.
What the insert drop here is benewing.
I don't know what benewing is. So you take a canoe, and you take beer, and you put them together.
Wouldn't it be
benewing?
Yeah. See, we used to do that, except we did it on inner tubes.
No, canoes are a lot better because then you have like a sense of genuine peril.
A risk of flipping.
Yeah, you've never ridden an inner tube through the rapids while having beer next to you.
Any near death experiences this time, Zach?
No, I didn't. I didn't almost drown this time, which was a nice touch. We did chief a lot of Coors, and I probably won't drink Coors again until next year this time.
Silver bullet, gotcha.
My buddy made the mistake, like we picked up a couple of, I guess there were 24s, right? And like I had two 24s, and there are only a handful of us out there, and he's like, two 24s, we're going to need more than that. Oh, we get it out there, and we realize they're like the tall cans. They're not like little stubby 12 ounces, they're the 16 ounces. So, you know, it was bad. We came back with, I think, like 7 beers.
And dysentery.
Dehydration
It was pretty intense. And then we got on the motorcycles and rode 300 and some odd miles back the next morning.
Oh, my God. How was the weather? I bet it was scorching hot.
No, it was fantastic, actually. It was very nice.
Hmm. Well, very nice. I guess the People's Republic of Virginia serves up some nice weather every now and again.
Yeah.
So, well, very good. We're glad you made it, Zach, back from the Autoblog.
Yeah.
All right. So, shall we get started?
Yes.
Yes. Michelle, you've got our first story.
A community
in Florida is being pretty discriminatory here, and I don't like it.
Well, it is pretty amazing considering it is Florida. But there are snobs in Florida, too.
It's like the roundabout honorary state.
It is.
The dangle.
It is. The dangle state. Yes, Craig, you can say it.
Huh.
So, Coral Gables, Florida does not want people parking their pickup trucks in the driveways at night because they think that it doesn't preserve the character of the historical area, which is kind of funny because my stepdad, when he moved to Texas from California, when he married my mother, did not want to buy a house in an area where anybody parked a pickup truck in the driveway because he felt that that devalued that house.
And, oh, my God, you know, somebody that works for a living. Holy crap.
Right.
Don't want them
then,
in the neighborhood.
Know, in their neighborhood, they ended up buying their house. And, of course, everybody has really expensive pickups, including that one. The next door neighbor has one of those funny Chevy things with the convertible. Or yes.
Avalanche.
Yeah, somebody probably has one of those, too. But
the SSR.
Yeah, the SSR.
SARS.
So, yeah, I mean, I can understand, like, the city of Venice and Santa Monica is trying to keep people from parking motorhomes on the streets because that's actually homeless people, or not homeless people, it's people, homed people with wheels living in front of their very expensive homes. But the idea that pickups, you know, somehow distract from a neighborhood is kind of silly.
Yeah, this week this happens to dovetail very nicely. I've got the GMC 2500 Denali. And it's got a price tag of almost $70,000.
Yeah,
you know, and you're like,
who the hell buys that, and why?
Well, that aside, if you had lost your mind for a brief stint and found yourself with this in the driveway, would you not just be irate if someone just told you that you couldn't park there?
Well, I might have to engage the four-wheel drive. And
just drive it through their house.
Well, I was going to say, like, and park it on top of their Mercedes or BMW.
Here, well, okay, they say park in the driveway. What about on the lawn or in the backyard?
Lexus, yeah.
The article says driveway. What about the front lawn or the backyard? Could just move it off?
That's a good point.
But this sounds like, so this is like the homeowners association that's being a butthole about everything?
It says it's the city, isn't it?
It's a city, yeah.
It's a city ordinance. They said it actually has been in existence for like 50 years. They just never enforced it.
It's a pretty stupid law if you ask me, but...
Well, isn't half of Coral Gables a gated community anyway, so you're not going to see anything?
Probably.
Well, that makes me sad, Michelle, and I don't even own a pickup truck.
Makes me rot sad.
You should be rootin' tootin' angry. You should be getting your six shooters out.
Pew pew.
One more reason.
That's more than a six shooter.
That's like a Browning or something.
I am FPS Russian. Have you seen those videos?
Oh, so good. So good.
Oh, well, there you go. In another no-themed story is, as in, no, please, don't. Zach, we've got some states. Some states are trying to supplement their revenues with a certain license plate gimmick. What's going on?
Yeah, that about sums it up.
Next story, then.
Gimmick!
Yay!
Moving on. Illinois is considering allowing corporate sponsors to I guess brand license plates, which seems like a horrible idea. It's not the first time that this has happened. Apparently Texas got into this in 2009, and I guess Ford and Remax and Mighty Fine Burgers have done this. And the astonishing thing about this is despite all of those large companies getting into this game, it's only generated $51,805 for Texas. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It seems a little weird. I feel like if you're going to be able to buy advertising on however many license plates, you ought to have to pay a fairly sizable chunk of money.
Well,
right?
Is that even going to cover the administrative costs of this program, knowing how wasteful governments are?
So it's bizarre. I don't know.
Well, meanwhile, someone apparently has figured out that the little Google landing page, when they had the guitar and you could record the song, that landing page actually ended up costing the American workforce something like $25 million in working hours.
I lost like half a day on that sucker. I was just like rocking out. I was like, yes, this is fantastic.
See, if you step up to Bing, you don't get these superfluous distractions.
That's why you're more productive, right, Chris?
Exactly.
You just get black screen and green text. That's all you get from Bing.
Was it Illinois or was it California that wanted to put, like, moving LEDs on license plates for advertisement?
Oh, yeah.
We covered that about this. supposedly there's a private company that sets up the plates for Texas, and they have I don't know how many various designs. I thought license plates were supposed to be recognizable per state. Wasn't that like part of the whole plan?
Well, not when they can make money.
If you were gallivanting across the country, they'd know where you were from. I don't know.
Rather than trim wasteful spending, they want to, you know.
Well, that would be most of the spending then, Eric. We're not going to do that.
Well, thank you.
You're
coming around to my way of thinking.
So if this were an option in your fine state, respectively, what would you guys have on the plate, if anything?
Shinerbach.
Shinerbach?
Oh, well, yes. No, that's a bad idea. Drinking and driving.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm promoting it.
Roundabout does not condone drinking and driving. Please drink.
Unless you're carting, and then it's kind of okay. Yeah.
Well, if it's
who would cart while drinking?
Well, if it's Texas,
so weird.
Well, if
where
it's
could
Texas,
you do that?
And when you have to have Dr. Pepper.
What's that?
Wouldn't Dr. Pepper have to be a primary one on anything from Texas? They're based out of Dallas.
I thought they were based out of Atlanta or something.
No. That's Coca-Cola.
Sure. Yeah.
Michelle, you've got to have a corporate sweetheart you'd want to plug on your plate.
Well, Diet Coke.
Coke. Okay.
I can think of one other, Michelle.
Glock. Glock would be pretty sweet.
Glock.
Mommy loves hummers.
No!
Clearly missed some important milestones in the roundabout while I was gone.
Oh, you know it.
I can just see the various gentlemen's entertainment clubs sponsoring plates in Michigan, especially for the Detroit area.
Brought to you by the Diamond
BTs, Tycoons, and Trumps, big three.
You know, speaking of strip clubs, we actually had a guy that manages one of the strip clubs here in the port that was shot on his way home from work the other day. He's the boyfriend of the woman that owns several strip clubs in the area. And it kind of he was shot on the freeway and killed. And he called 911 before he died. And, you know, very kind of sad story. They don't know who the guy was. But the thing that shocked me the most was he was in a Prius. And I don't know why.
He's an environmentally conscious pimp.
Maybe that's why he got shot, actually. Yeah. Mystery solved. Mystery solved.
Oh, keeping the no theme alive, Eric. Our next story.
No theme.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
No theme.
Yeah, I just want to know what newly signed rap artist felt the need to
do this.
Yes, destroy a perfectly fine 360.
Was it Elton John?
Yeah, 300. What does a Rolls Royce Phantom go for? 350 grand or so?
A lot. More than. I drove one that was 440.
It had a 440 in it?
No, it was 440 grand.
Oh.
It had a V12 with a power reserve meter.
Ah, yes. Well, this one is.
Oh, my.
The outside is white, yellow, purple, and gold with. Rather
like
unattractive
it's like
rims.
The theme song for After Hours, Ben, where they're singing about the colors.
Where's the rainbow rims and some of that Mylar stuff on it?
And then the interior has this purple look, fake carbon fiber purple trim. And I mean, just like, yeah, this is.
I want to see the hat that goes with this car. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, this.
It's gotta be impressive.
Oh, Christ.
Is that like purple carbon fiber?
It's like printed on plastic, looks like. I don't know. Because look at the still of the YouTube image at the bottom right corner. It looks wavy.
It's crinkled.
I don't
know
if that's lens distortion, but it's not even.
Yeah, this is definitely something like Iceberg Slim or something would be rolling in. I mean, it's just.
Somebody applied that with their debit card.
It's a fine vinyl application tool, I'll have you know.
I use old ones to scrape my surfboard.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
Yeah, words are inadequate to describe.
This is almost, though not quite as hideous as the Chevrolet Impala that Marion Barber had. You weren't here last. I'll have to find the link for it for you, Zach. But it's on eBay. If you go on eBay and you look for search for Marion Barber's Impala, this thing's almost as hideous as that.
It comes with puppies, though, Michelle. You'd like it.
Absolutely. I do have to add one thing, you guys. Mm-hmm. This car is in the same color wave as my house. The exterior of my house is actually the exact same colors. Yeah.
The exterior isn't too horrible. I would venture to say, what were those? The Mansory rollers.
Is this
that we were talking
about? this the paint scheme you're going to go for with the Ford?
No.
Craig?
No, it's going to be flat black. I'm just saying, I think the Mansory's on the outside might look worse with the awful gold trim.
This has gold trim.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know.
And it's awful.
O-F-F-A-L.
Awful.
Awful, yes.
Scrumptious innards.
Yes.
It's like a big sweetbread.
You like the pancreas and thyroid, Michelle? Oh, dear. So, in less awful news, got a beautiful car that's up for sale. It's very unique. And I'm very upset, and I wish I could actually own this one, because it is a clear-bodied, a plastic-bodied Pontiac from 1939 that is going up for auction. GM built it for the 1939 World's Fair in New York, and this is literally a full-size car. It actually runs, and it has all plastic, clear, transparent bodywork, which is awesome. Come on. Who wouldn't like to have this in their garage? Not that you could really drive it ever, but...
It says it's drivable. I would love to see... You know that show that they have that goes around all the museums? And I think it's kind of permanent in Vegas now, where they have, like, the sort of, like, sliced-up people in action.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be great to see, like, the person without their skin behind the wheel of this?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
terrifying, one of the two. I don't know.
Well, because they do have, like, one of those with a horse. A skinless horse and a skinless person riding.
They showed part of that in the James Bond, the first Daniel Craig James Bond movie.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, that's right.
It was, you know, it's cool stuff. Yeah.
So, it's a 1939 Pontiac Deluxe 6, flathead 6 under the hood, and like I said, it's going up at the RM auction block, and it could fetch as much as $475,000.
Doesn't that seem low?
Say again?
Doesn't that seem low to you?
No.
It seems about right. I mean, given how rare it is.
I think that's actually too low. I mean, all the people that collect World's Fair stuff...
Hmm. It's probably got a salvage title, that's why.
Well, it runs. It's got 86 miles on the Odo, but it's understandable why you wouldn't want to drive this. What if you get dirt under there? How do you clean it? You know, be a nightmare.
Come on, that's way less money than Chitty Bang Bang.
Well, if it's caked on or if it had rained a little bit,
that's a good point. Actually, that's kind of sad.
So, but yeah, very. You got to see the pictures to believe this. It is very cool. And GM built more than one of these. But this is the only one I believe that's left surviving.
I wish the floor pan was clear. That would be pretty awesome.
Yes, it would. There's a nice photo of the interior. No door panels or anything.
They had to have some structural rigidity in it.
Yeah. Why isn't the engine block plastic?
I bet you this thing weighs an epic ton. Mm. You know all that plexiglass?
Is plexiglass heavier than steel?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it depends on the thickness, but yeah. I mean, I would think that at the dawn of the creation of the stuff, it had to have been pretty thick.
Yeah. They probably didn't, like, you know, modern plastic, when they make things, they oftentimes will, like, blow mold them, or they will do the vacuum forming. They'll heat a sheet of plastic up and suck it over a mold. I wonder if they, like, do they have to cast these parts or something? I don't know.
I don't know.
But it's amazing this early plastic held up as well as it did.
Yeah.
So, now you know. Ben, would you drive a 1939 Pontiac?
Yeah,
G8 right now. Now this one's only a 6-cylinder. I know it's a little bit below what you're used to, but
I'd have to think about it.
You know, it's no G8.
GT. It's not the GT either.
How does this fit our no theme?
No
steel in the body. I don't know.
Yeah.
No exactly. Clothes.
No way. No way you can afford it.
There you go. No way Craig could pass up talking about it. I don't know.
Yeah, that too.
So. Does this give you ideas for your?
Yes, if I.
Your project?
I think you should do half of it in plexiglass and the other half in the color scheme from the car we just spoke about.
That's tasteful. That would be tasteful. Because you got the transparent, you know, you can, like, see through it and stuff, and then you've got that lovely color scheme.
Like those Matchbox cars that were two colors. Exactly.
Bingo. Yeah. So that's the news portion of the show, but we are trucking along here. It's time for Roundabout Redline. So for those of you just joining us, this is our newest news segment where we blitz through a selection of stories right quick. So let's get started. There's more than one way to get even with a bastardly landlord. Tenants can skip out on payments, strip the home of valuable copper pipes and wire, or simply trash the place. Of course, you can also hitch the front of the building to a pickup truck and floor the accelerator. WXYZ Channel 7 News reports this is exactly what one Detroit-area woman did. She completely ripped the facade off the front of her rental home, causing unexpectedly massive carnage. She also smashed every pane of glass in the place and flooded the basement for good measure. Talk about low-end torque.
I think, yeah. Sorry.
No, you got something to say, Ed, Zach?
I do. I'd make a fantastic commercial. Sorry. Keep moving on. Yeah.
We've got the power to rip a house apart.
I've seen this movie before. It had Mel Gibson and Danny Glover in it.
That's true, actually.
There you go.
Lethal Weapon 54, I think.
Michelle.
Yes. Well, apparently... The Japan Automobile Federation, which is their equivalent of the AAA, has started a mobile experiment of charging EV drivers for refills on the road when they lose their charge. Although it's not clear how long a mobile recharge will take compared to the normally 7-hour charge up for a drained battery, they claim the recharge is using a prototype system that replaces the need for a red jerry can of voltage. Nissan Japan currently offers towing coverage to Leaf owners.
So how does this work? They pull up with a diesel truck?
Yeah, big old truck.
Well, big Caterpillar generator out there and just plug that in.
They pull them with the brakes on for a couple blocks.
Drive with the brakes. That's true.
Yeah.
Works like a charm.
Speaking of fuel, Eric.
Yeah, usually when you live in an area where aircraft fly over, you get this lovely film of dirt and kerosene all over your car and patio furniture and everything else. But if you're in Afghanistan, you're just as likely to have pallets of 50-gallon drums of fuel fall from the sky.
Really?
Because of the terrain of the country, it turns out it's easier or less expensive to drop fuel from 30,000 feet into combat areas and remote camps than it is to truck it in. In fact, 80% of all missions flown in Afghanistan are for fuel resupply. The cost to do all this? Turns out fuel ends up being about $11 a gallon delivered this way.
It's not as much as I would have expected.
Yeah, I'm bad.
Make it up in volume.
How about that? Zachary.
You can tell your homebrewing friends they don't know fine beer from baboon sweat. Sydney-based Han Brewery has released a new ad detailing the complex artistry that goes into crafting a bottle of the company's brew. Things get underway by serenading the grains with the dulcet tones of the Knight Rider theme before a squad of former American gladiators pound it to dust with massive steel mallets. From there, the raw materials are baked under an array of old television sets broadcasting kung fu movies. A DeLorean DMC-12 on monster truck tires drives the company's vats before the beer is filtered through hairband drum solos, over a tower of sports trophies, into a giant Elvis jacket, and onto a lounging acrylic tiger. And we thought we just weren't adding enough hops.
That's an awesome commercial. Roundaboutshow.com.
Michelle. Yes. I'm sorry, I was just musing about the fact I was in a meeting the other day where a question came up from lead counsel about if KIT was actually an anagram. Anyway, 12 miles of yarn in Lauren Porter's will give you 0 miles in a recently created Ferrari Berlinetta. The knitting artiste took 10 months to create the lumpy masterpiece, and it is based on a metal frame. You definitely don't want to don this Ferrari near a campfire.
Why?
Because, Ferraris poof.
Yes, 458s have a tendency to do that.
And acrylic would melt to your skin. A Toledo, Ohio man has a real diamond in the rough on his hands. 5 decades ago, Jerry Brummett purchased a 1940 Packard Super 8 formal sedan from a local farmer. The car is only one of about 250 built, but more impressively, there are only 15 known to exist today. Adding to the history, it used to be owned by a man named Frank Duane Stranahan, one of the founders of Champion Spark Plug. After Brummett bought it, for a mere $350, might I add, he used it to transport motorcycles of all things. At the time, he didn't have enough money for a restoration, so after a couple of years, he parked it in an old fuel storage tank and welded the door shut. The quarter-inch thick steel protected the Packard over the intervening decades, and now, at the age of 71, he's finally getting around to resurrecting this automotive masterpiece. When complete, the car should be worth $50,000 or more. It's a pretty cool
story. That's a lot of savings, Greg.
But is
aw,
it?
Jeffy.
He's going to put that much into it, at least. So it's a linear non-vestment, I guess.
I love the names in that story. Stranahan, Rummet. We just aren't names like that anymore.
I know. Awesome stuff. Well, that is Roundabout Redline, our rapid-paced six-shooter segment. What engine is that, Zach?
It sounds like a blender is what it sounds like.
Well, it's a 5-liter 5.0 Mustang, actually. First,
sounds like a blender.
Under the hood.
Oh, at least it's not a dentist drill this week, Zach. That's all I have to say.
Well, that concludes the news half of the show, so thanks for joining us. But we do hope you stick around, because after the break, our panelists face off in another thrilling installment of Versus. Who will take the checkered crown this week? Who knows? Find out what kind of car is the safest in Britain, and we have some valuable tips for buying a new vehicle, so don't you go anywhere. But right now, I'd like to talk about our good friends at Tire Rack. They're running a special promotion right now that you can only get through our website. Isn't that right, Ben?
Yes.
If you go to roundaboutshow.com, just click that into your browser. At the top
click
of the page, you will see a lovely little banner for our good friends, as I mentioned, at Tire Rack. Mm-hmm. You click on that, and it is the only way to get this exclusive affiliate offer. But you, our loyal Roundabout fan, could save up to $80. $80, Eric, that's $20 per tire, on a purchase of 4 select Goodyear or Dunlop tires. How does that sound? Is that a good deal, Zach, or is that a damn fine deal?
It's a damn fine deal, Craig Cole.
And
damn.
Michelle has disappeared. She's afraid of all the savings.
I'm right here.
We thought you put your privacy sheath up.
My sheath. I'm wearing my sheath.
Privacy sheath. I have not heard that before. So again, you could save $80 on a purchase of 4 select Goodyear or Dunlop tires. If your car needs new rubber, do it. We appreciate your support.
Speaking
and so does Tire Rack. That's so much fun. All right.
So, I could go for miles with this one.
So you've heard, Greg. Yeah. So you've heard.
So now it is time for another action-packed installment of our latest segment. It's called Versus. As you know, in this game, two panelists debate the merits and demerits of one particular vehicle. The other two, plus Ben, if he's not in a pissy mood, will pick the winner. Colonel, how you feeling, girl?
Tolerable.
Well, that's an improvement from last week. Great. So, you are going to draw the names out of a hat. We've got everyone's
Indeed.
Name there. We've got the different roles everybody can play.
Right.
So, who is first up, and what position will they be playing?
All right, so number one is Eric.
Eric, what is Eric going to be?
Eric is going to be a judge. Good.
Eric is a judge.
Guilty as charged.
Judge Judy.
Who's the next person?
Zachariah.
Zachariah. And he is a judge.
He will be a professional.
Did you like the sparkles I drew on there?
That was very nice. That was a nice touch.
All right, you're the pro, Zach.
Next we've got Joey.
Joey Naranjo.
Me!
And Joey will be Genghis Khan. That, of course, means that Craig will be a judge again.
Just the hammer goal.
That's right. I did draw a hammer on the one here, if you were wondering. Gavel. It's hard to see.
Oh, is that what that is? Okay. Thank you.
That sausage-shaped blob with the pie underneath it. So, now, the rules, Zach, as pro, you must do your best to convincingly talk up the positive aspects of the vehicles in each of our three rounds, no matter how awful you think said vehicle really is. On the other hand, Michelle, are you paying attention?
I am. I was just thinking, do I get a stopwatch?
Ben will be timing us, so I'll get to that in a minute. But Michelle, you are the con, and you must make the case for why each of these cars ought to be taken off to the crusher. Each of you will have 1 minute, as timed by Colonel Slanders, per car to state your cases. Okay? Following that, there will be a 15-second rebuttal round. So I and Eric are the judges this week, and we will determine who won at the end of the round.
So you guys make sure you keep track of your points.
Yes, and judges?
We,
being
Eric. We have
Eric.
To keep track of our have, of points on ourselves?
No, you guys don't have to worry.
The judges.
Math.
Oh.
Math.
What?
Math.
So I'm just going to open a separate Word doc and type my crap in. But, yeah, so that's how it's going to work.
Language.
My kerfuffle. So, Ben, what's the first vehicle this week in our second edition of Versus?
I'm going to go ahead and paste the links into the Google Doc for you guys in case you want a quick reference. Our first one is the 2012 Jeep Grand Cherokee. So, are we ready? We will start. We started with Pro last week, did we not?
Pro is Zach.
No, we started with Con. We started with Eric. So, we're going to start with Pro this week. And so, Zach, on your mark, get set, go.
1 minute.
What is not to love about this vehicle? It's styled excellently. Chrysler did a really fantastic job with it. You can now get it with a new Pentastar 3.6 liter V6, which gets pretty good fuel economy, excellent power. If that's not enough for you, you can always step up to the 5.7 V8, which is also an awesome motor. Engine, Craig. It also has a
not a middle,
beautiful,
is it?
beautiful interior, plenty of space inside, decent tow rating. You can go anywhere off-road. It's just a good
30 seconds left.
Wholesome SUV. It doesn't shy away from that that classification at all. It's got a lot of presence. It looks good in town, looks good off-road. It's just a good all-around SUV.
15 seconds left.
Hard to beat it. I don't even need the rest. I'm done.
All right. Michelle, you are the con, and are you ready?
I am not a prison departee.
She's stalling for time.
I know. She's typing away.
All right,
what's
Michelle.
The Jeep grade?
No, I'm not typing. I'm sweating.
Oh, my God.
All right, Michelle. You're the con. Sell us on this.
Con artist.
Well, I think the one thing that has to go without saying, but of course I have to say it because I'm the con, is that this has terrible gas mileage. If anybody wants to have a family vehicle that gets better gas mileage, this is definitely not anything that they want to look for. From what I understand, that some of the reliability in terms of just the interior qualities are not holding up to most family standards as well. So if you have, you know, a bunch of rough and tumble kids, it might not be the best for you. Let's see, what else? I personally
30 seconds remain.
It looks okay, but it kind of looks like it's sitting still. So I don't think that the exterior is quite as dynamic as I'd like to see it look. But I think it really comes back to gas mileage, that it has terrible, terrible gas mileage. And, you know, Wagoneers were never reputed to have great reliability. And so it's going to be interesting to see if a Jeep Grand Cherokee of this kind is going to have the similar sort of legend with it. That's it.
And true to form, she was a motor mouth using all of her 60 seconds.
So, I told you I had to.
So now it is time for the 15-second rebuttal round, Zach. You will have but 15 seconds to refute Michelle's arguments.
On your
when
mark.
You're ready.
Get set. Go.
All right. Well, as far as the fuel economy concerns are oriented, all I have to say is SRT8 version. There's your solution right there. You don't even care about fuel economy. Why? Because it's so freaking fast. There you go. Done.
And your time is done as well.
There you
Michelle,
go.
Brace for impact. It is your turn for rebuttal. Are you ready?
Can I go?
Yep, go.
I would actually question the ability of this thing to really go off-road in a way that is usable, raceable, whatever. Mm-hmm. Even despite the fact that it might be fast on a flat, straight road, or even a little bit curvy road, but flat road.
That noise, of course, means that your time is out.
All right,
judges, your thoughts on this first round?
Heated, Eric.
I thought there was both sides made good arguments.
It's very valid points.
Yes.
I mean, Zach definitely going for the enthusiast tack,
yep.
But Michelle, with her family-oriented comments, economy, these are very important for new vehicle buyers these days.
Mm-hmm.
Good points on both sides. This is a very difficult round to decide. So I hope our next vehicle will give us a better chance of picking a winner because this is too close to call.
That's true. This time we will start with Con. So that means you, Michelle.
Con!
And I will go ahead and paste in your next link because pick number two is the 2011 Toyota Camry.
Zach's got this. Well, Michelle won.
I can do this. I can do this. I've got the faith.
Are you ready, Michelle?
I'm ready.
Go.
You know, one of the great things about the Toyota Camry is that it is a reliable vehicle that people know the quality.
You're the con.
And what
You're the con.
Just... Oh, wait.
Thanks for doing my job for
you. You're welcome. But
it's costing you points and time, Michelle.
Shut up, Craig. But the thing is that the thing lacks complete inspiration. There's so many better cars out there now that have more style, more quality, better fuel efficiency. This thing is not evolved. It's basically a dinosaur,
seconds.
And it needs to be sent to the scrapper because it's really not what you'd hope this car would have become. It's gotten larger. The quality has gone down on it. It's ugly.
15 seconds
it's
remain.
Boring, and you know, people come out of the malls and they don't know which car is theirs anymore. People want cars that actually identify themselves, right? But this one doesn't do it.
There you go.
All right, that's it. Good arguments, Michelle. Zach, are you primed and ready?
I'm ready.
Or did the job take care of
I'm
itself?
I'll just take 30 seconds.
Right, here you go, Zach.
All right. Well, you know, it's fair enough. It does have very conservative styling, but that's okay because safe styling is good and it's comfortable. And not everybody wants something that's wild and flashy. The Camry is a wild seller, and it wouldn't be a wild seller if it wasn't just a genuinely good car. You know, it's fairly reliable. It's got a very usable interior, plenty of space in the back, plenty of space in the trunk. It is a very large car. It's very comfortable. There's plenty of room for the family. You can get an efficient
30 seconds.
You can even get a hybrid if you want, or if you want a little bit more power, you can get up to 268 horsepower in the V6. That's a pretty good all around package. Done.
Wow.
We're gonna put that on your gravestone.
Zach Bowman, 42 seconds.
Oh, I will argue for anything, ma'am. I absolutely.
All right. Michelle, are you ready for the rebuttal phase?
I am ready for a rebuttal.
All right, go.
I think for the money, it might be a bigger car. It might have the bigger trunk, than it used to. It might have all of these different qualities. But the fact is that its quality is not what other car manufacturers have actually taken in this segment. So,
good enough.
It'll have to be Zach Bowman.
That's my slogan.
Good enough. Zach, it's your turn. Go when you're ready.
And as far as the quality goes, it's still very much on par. You know, even though the Toyota name has slipped a little bit, it hasn't lost that much ground.
All right, so that is the end of round number two.
That's right. Judges, what'd you think?
Eric, your thoughts?
Gloves are off on that one.
This was a bloody knuckle fight here.
We're about ready to go into round five. Who's going to tap?
Who took the damage on this one?
Well, I think Michelle made an early misstep.
no way.
But she recovered. She recovered quickly, and they really both hit the ground running. And this from my vantage point as judge, this round was too close to call at this point.
Mm. Okay.
I have not.
So you've got to put it into context or something.
I need context. Mm-hmm. The next round will decide will be where I cast my vote.
Okay. So all right. Okay.
What is our next vehicle, Colonel?
Third and final.
Yeah.
Third and final vehicle is the Audi A7. So we will start with Zach again this time, since he is pro. Are you ready, Zach?
Ready to go.
Go.
So the A7 is one of the newest additions to this sort of half-breed hatchback sedan segment, and it's by far the best looking. It's just a beautifully sculpted vehicle. Audi has always built very, very strong, solid driving vehicles, and this is no exception. Excellent interior, as usual. Plenty of functionality with the five-door configuration. Lots of room in the back seat. You can take yourself, your wife, and another couple, and all of their belongings go on a trip.
30 seconds.
And you're taken care of. It's got a 7-speed dual-clutch transmission, or an 8-speed Tiptronic in the U.S., so it's very fairly efficient for what it is. Lots of engine options. You've got the optional Quattro all-wheel drive system, so you can go in any weather. It's a solid vehicle.
All right. Michelle?
You know this is cruel, right?
All right.
Here we go. Go.
You know, Zach makes a lot of good points about this car, but at the end of the day, you have to realize that this car is going to have to go back to an Audi service department at some point, and that seems to be the biggest problem with Audis, is that there is that service issue. I mean, maintaining an Audi is the brakes are expensive, the battery is expensive, even the regular maintenances are expensive. They're, you know, they don't get great efficiency. I mean, the cost of ownership of an Audi A7, even though it might fit some of your family and some of your belongings, definitely not all of them, as Mr. Bowie would say. It's really not that great of a car when you consider that there are cars that are in that segment that will actually hold more people, more items, and are more reliable.
Wow, under time.
Succinct. And Zach, I'm surprised you weren't throwing out a rebuttal there, but
you didn't give him a chance yet.
What's it called?
Craig's
objection.
Lost.
Objection.
Craig's. Objection. Exactly. Overruled.
So. Craig's woken up in the back of his pajamas again.
Where am I? Who took my medicine? So. All right, Zach, it's time for your rebuttal. Go.
All right. Well, yeah, you know, it's if you're not looking to sacrifice style and still need a certain level of functionality, the A7 is it. It's a beautiful vehicle, and it'll still get you and your family where you want to go without having to jump into an SUV or a Bora.
That's a sound drop right there. The engine sound like...
Michelle, you're the con. Time for rebuttal.
I just think that at the end of the day, there's a lot of better choices out there in terms of luxury and style that would be more reliable.
Very nice. 7 seconds to spare.
<Bar-ar-ar-ar-ar>.
All right, judges, what'd you think of this round?
Another heated round. I mean, these guys are balls to the walls, you know?
How'd Zach do on this one?
I have balls.
I'm figuratively speaking. I'm not certain, but
here's the question: would Lola fit in an A7?
It's a little sloping in the back.
She fit in a Focus 5-door.
That's what the front seat's for. Moving on.
Oh man, this is. I'm carefully.
I should have been a car salesman. Literally, I can say anything and just not care. It's fantastic.
That's why you're an automotive journalist.
Exactly.
So I think Eric and I have to confer here for a moment. So I'm just going to roll over to...
You're going to Chambers.
Chambers.
Dun, dun, dun.
I have a gavel, so I'll just slap the table.
Yeah, I need a gavel sound effect.
They're going to whisper sweet nothings in each other's ears.
You're mumbling.
Rhubarb.
Supposedly when they film crowd scenes, okay. That's why they make everybody say exactly. Rhubarb.
It's true.
Like,
all the extras have to say rhubarb.
Yep, this is thrilling radio.
Okay.
Right here.
We've come to a conclusion. The scorecard, the judges have their scorecards in.
Eric, would you like to call your scores?
I have it. One round for the con, one round for the pro, and one round a draw.
Ooh.
We need a tiebreaker. You can't just walk away like that. What is
well,
this?
I will decide the tie then, because I awarded all of my points to one person.
Oh, my.
And a landslide victory, the winner of our second annual...
annual?
Weekly annual. Roundabout versus the winner by technical knockout?
Sure.
We'll just call it that.
Split decision, actually.
Well, yeah, there you go. Okay. The winner...
is
Michelle Joey Naranjo.
Well done.
Winner!
I think they were. Now, Zach, all these rounds were so close.
No, you don't have
How
to explain
happen?
Something to me. Don't have to explain anything to me, Craig. I understand.
Wait, I don't get it. How did that happen?
Because Craig had it 3-0 going to you. I had it 1-1 and a tie for a third. So it would be 4-1-1 going to you. No. That's how the points would add up.
Sorry, Zach.
That's fun.
Those are curiously not automotively themed.
Yeah, I went
sound
for
like
an,
lasers.
It's an 8-bit kind
they
of.
They fit your shirt,
it's,
Ben.
It's very,
show
it's
everyone.
Very Zaxxon.
8-bit masterpiece.
That's right.
All right. So, Michelle, congratulations. Zachary, I am sorry. I thought her arguments were
tip
just...
my hat
it was
to the,
such
the stronger party. I do.
Make your case, Craig.
Well, it was so, they, all rounds were so close. It was very hard to decide. Last week, in fact, we had to go to the chat room even and have them break the tie. This week, we were fortunate enough to have a clear-cut winner, and I think that was Michelle by the narrowest of margins. You carried all three. You didn't miscarry any of the rounds this time. Got them all full term, and I think you won.
I want to see Ben have a temper tantrum this week, though.
Oh, you missed out on a good one last week.
I had the Cherokee being a split because I think both of you made...
Couldn't decide? Too close?
It was too close. Zach had it definitely from the performance side. Michelle brought up all the issues, having been a previous Cherokee, not a Grand Cherokee, but mm-hmm. a Cherokee owner nonetheless, and having my grandfather owned many a Chrysler mm-hmm. product through the years, understanding the quality issues.
Mm-hmm.
I had Zach getting the Camry, and I had Michelle...
Really?
I had Michelle with the Audi. Because especially with dealing with a few Audi dealerships in my day job, I know some of the issues that happen there.
Yeah.
Full inside knowledge.
Such as?
Inside knowledge.
Okay. Never kiss and tell. Well, thank you, panelists. That was awesome. I hope the chat room enjoyed it as well. I think that was a pretty spirited round. And Michelle, we've got to thank you because you concocted this idea here for Versus, I understand.
A crazy idea.
Yeah. Well, it must have been one night of heavy drinking to come up with that, right?
No, I was on the phone with Ben.
So it was, like
so it was a heavy night of a long night of heavy drinking.
Right.
Yeah. Why am I so sad?
Same levels of brain damage. Just. To...
Thanks. Thank you. All That's
right.
great.
So, moving right along. It's time.
I believe our time is out.
I say good day to you, sir.
So, moving along, it's time to bring you up to speed on a story we covered not too long ago.
And now it's time for this week's roundabout update.
a roundabout update. So, previous episode of the show.
We, previously on.
On roundabout. Oops. We were talking about the Reliant Robin. You guys all know what this car's about. Don't you? This three-wheeled thing from Britain, fiberglass body panels. Jeremy Clarkson from Top Gear drove it, flipped it over about 37 times in the course of 2 minutes.
No? As did the Stig.
Yeah. So there's a lovely article on the Autoblog, no less. And, Zach, you didn't write this one. I don't know why. You write a lot of them on there.
I was probably traveling.
So, surprisingly, against the odds...
Why is this a roundabout update? Sorry.
Because when we covered the Reliant Robin the first time, there was a wonderful video from Top Gear of Jeremy Clarkson.
That's not why. Because last week's show, we reported on who's pounding on their microphones.
Somebody's playing with a bouncy ball or something.
Michelle?
I don't have my chair here.
Michelle.
Okay.
All right. No, last week we reported on... the most unsafe car in the UK.
Oh, that's
right.
Right. Yes, that too.
Were you there last week, Craig?
Only in body. So, yes, now we're reporting on the safest. And it was a Honda. I forget the exact name of it. It was like
something
the FRV. It was an MPV-type vehicle, a minivan of sorts. So this week, one of the safest vehicles in the British Isles, the Reliant Robin. That's hard to believe, Eric.
It is, and it isn't. It isn't
you never
because
drive your car. You know, it's hard to be unsafe.
That is the most unattractive still of Jeremy Clarkson.
He's very jowly. I'm not going to lie.
I was gonna say, when you have a car that handles as ill as this, you're probably extra cautious.
Yeah, well, it's true. It's like a motorcycle.
And if you were in a, if you were in an accident, would you really want to admit that you drove a Reliant Robin?
Yeah, the guy crashed the car and ran off. Sir, you're bleeding from the face. No, it wasn't me.
That was fiberglass.
It's a flesh wound.
I can't believe this thing is rear-wheel drive, too.
Well, you couldn't exactly drive it all through the front wheel.
I know, but it's...
Chain drive to the front? That'd be awesome.
Front wheel drive? Yes, I want to see that now. But anyway, so evidently only 11 out of an admittedly small number of Reliant owners in this case 1,174, have submitted a claim to their insurance company. That's 0.9% of owners, which stacks up very favorably to an average of 7.3% in the United Kingdom.
Well, you got to imagine, like, if something happens to your Reliant Robin, you just set it on fire right there and walk away, right? You don't actually claim it on your insurance.
Yes, that's true. Right? And the Autoblog insight here that's particularly telling is the Italian exotics, the Bentleys, the Aston Martins, are curiously also very short on insurance claims. Perhaps they don't get driven much.
Or they just pay for it out of pocket.
Yeah.
I knew someone that had a Reliant Robin. I didn't realize how few people had owned them, actually. But when I lived in Wales, one of my neighbors was a Church of England priest.
What kind
and
of
he
whale?
Had one. And he, Wales, as in the Wales kind. And anyway, we had single lane roads, and that's all he did was like putter from like one teeny tiny village to another on a single lane road, and you only went like 15 miles an hour, and it was,
it was a lovely step up from a motorbike, especially if it's raining or snowing, right?
Right.
And you only needed a motorcycle license to own it.
It's lower cost.
Ride a 250 before I drove that thing any day of the week.
Any day.
If you should watch the video on here. It's funny, but I mean it's one of those things of that. Certain things at Top Gear are scripted a certain way because Clarkson's driving a Reliant Robin that has a Kirkley racing seat and a 5-point harness, and he's wearing a helmet. I mean, that should tell you all you need to know about how that was going to go.
No way. It's like a show made for entertainment of 350 million people weekly.
Oh, shocking.
So weird.
Oh, my God.
The windshield popped out.
.com.
I lolled. So the video is awesome. Check it out, roundaboutshow.com. We'll have the link in the show notes. But the car basically, the segment starts out, he's driving it. The very first turn, the thing just flips over. And
shockingly, these famous people show up just when he needs help the most.
Isn't that funny how that worked out? It's the British Isles are an archipelago of coincidence,
So. All that needed to happen is a Morris Marina just to fall from the sky.
Exactly. So... Reliant Robin drivers are quite safe. Moving along, motoring right along, it is time for our tip of the week. And Michelle, we figured we would throw this little dandy to you because you are the expert when it comes to purchasing new vehicles. And this article comes to us courtesy of lifehacker.com. What insights can you shower upon us?
Well, let's see. Let's start with this article. It's from lifehacker.com, and... Did you want me to talk about the SEO reasons that they wrote this article, or did you want me to talk about the actual tips that they're giving that are found absolutely everywhere on the internet because everyone's writing the same article?
Well, fill us in on all the details. We want the skinny.
Wow. This article is about how to screw with car salesmen, and it's based on an article by a guy over at a place called Verizongo who... I guess they
is that like
an
car salad?
Yeah, exactly. I think so. About why car dealers think it's okay to screw with you, which perpetrates this sort of idea that consumers and car dealers are just constantly trying to screw with each other. So this particular article, which I'm sure will be in our show notes, and therefore give Lifehacker way more hits than they need, but at least we'll be able to
tens
more
of hits
as a result of all of the fans going to hit this site because it'll be in our show notes and linked out. You'll find out from this article that you should always ignore car salesmen when they complain that they're not going to make money because no car dealer is actually working for free, or car salesman, I should say. They are either, they are first of all on usually a sort of weekly salary, which is based on some sort of minimum wage. They usually, even if they're getting flat fees per car, it's usually at least $100 per car. some of those guys are still starving because they might sell two cars a week, but they're getting an hourly wage on top of that. It informs you that your best weapon, of course, is information. So, always do your research.
Knowledge
all of that.
Is power or something.
Right, absolutely. All that obvious stuff, as if we didn't know this from the internet. And then also, check your emotions at the door. Don't go in and start picking a fight with the car salesman because they are emotional beings just like yourself. You don't want to go in and start telling them that they're idiots and they don't know what they're talking about, and you know what they're paying for the car because these guys are, you know, just employees of the person that actually is paying for the car. And let's see. Then don't screw yourself.
In public would be a crime of some sort.
I think it might be.
Words to live by right there.
Yeah, and it's more about like how not to, why you shouldn't treat car salesmen and, like poo-poo.
And at the end of the day, it's not the car sales. It's not the sales that you get screwed at the dealership. It's when you get to talk to the F&I guy.
Exactly.
Sure, we'll be happy to finance that for you. Just, it's this payment, you know? And then when you look at it, like,
for 71 years.
Well, it's like, yeah, 7 years at like 19.2% interest, you know?
Right. And I mean, the basics are just, you know, I mean, this article, of course, misses this point, but there is a difference between car buying fees and dealer fees. So, yeah, there's, you know, the dealer fees, there's the obvious fees that you have to pay, like the taxes and the license and all that stuff. And then there's also all of the add-ons, like the undercoating baloney and the
pinstriping.
Right, exactly. Like,
Ben is surly about pinstriping.
I hate pinstriping.
It's the go-fast.
His G6 he had sparkles on the C-pillar.
Oh.
It was special.
So, Michelle, you seem pretty skeptical about this article. Do you?
Oh, there's just 1,000 articles out there, like at least 1,000.
Well, what's
articles.
The Michelle Naranjo insight we can bring to the party here? What do you recommend people do, roundabout listeners? What do you recommend they do when they walk into the showroom to get a new car?
I think absolutely the one rule that they've pointed out here is educating yourself before you get there is the key.
Okay. So what does that mean?
That means doing research online where all of these tools are and, you know, kind of silly articles like this that are sort of general, but then there's more in-depth articles out there that will actually give you a little better idea of not only just articles, but the sort of information that'll, you know, there's tons of websites out there now that will give you the balance between MSRP and invoice price, for example, and what people are actually paying for cars in the end.
I would say walk if you're going to buy a car, pay cash, avoid financing it, and you bring in the cash in an envelope and you say, there's the cash. I'm trying to give it to you. You won't give me the car. And then when they say, well, I can't give it to you for that price, you go, well, then bring me someone who can.
And have you ever done that, Eric?
I have.
Wait, how does –
did they missing out on money? Sell you a car for $50?
When
in singles.
When I was moving – when I first got transferred to the UP, I attempted to buy a Volkswagen – a brand new Volkswagen Jetta TDI. And I had $5,000 in cash and I was going to trade in my Mustang.
Mm-hmm. That you miss dearly now.
I do. And when they offered me $2,000 as a trade-in on my Mustang – I laughed, and I had $5,000 in cash. No, it was like,
surely you take the date, you sir.
And I said, well, obviously you're high. Why don't you bring your sales manager so we can actually do the deal?
See, I would actually recommend that you don't say to a car salesman, surely you're high.
I know.
This were his college years, Michelle. He was a wild stallion back then.
He was three sheets to the wind. It was really embarrassing.
Yeah, it was an interesting time in my life.
Cocaine's one hell of a drug.
No, it is, just not at that point in time in my life.
Okay.
It was a different chapter.
Okay. This is last week, Eric, we're talking about.
So anyways, the sales manager comes in and, you know, we got to go through this whole rigmarole. And so basically I says, well, would you like to sell a car today? And they go, well, that's what we're trying to do. I says, no, you're not. Because if you were trying to sell a car, you'd be offering me something more than, you know, this on my trade-in, because you're going to sell it. You're giving me two. You're going to turn around and sell it for six.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, I can't sell it for six. And I says, then you can't sell.
Yeah.
So I gave my business card. I says, I'm leaving in 48 hours. If you'd like to sell this car, please call me.
So that's why you drove the 5.0 for two winters in the UP.
That's why I did.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things now that, you know, like this idea of like invoice price and then also trade-in values used to be such a sort of more of a mystery, and you'd have to like go buy the Kelley Blue Book. Believe it or not, you guys don't remember that, but I do.
I do.
I have one on my shelf, actually.
But, you know, now it's that's unfortunately part of the negotiation process is not about just knowing what you want to pay for the car, but knowing what your trade-in is worth, because you also are going to have to negotiate on that part as well.
Michelle,
by,
is it
by
better?
The way, 18 months later, when I did sell the Mustang, I got $5,600 for it. So.
Of course, there you go. Now, Michelle, is it better to negotiate the deal first and then do the trade-in after if you're going to trade something in?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you should never talk about financing or your trade-in up front, because you want to get the best price on the car first before you start talking about all the rest of the stuff.
You go into your local Ford dealership and you go, I have A-plan papers. No negotiation required after that.
Oh, is that all they need?
Pretty much. They open a book and they say, beep, A-plan, X-plan, Z-plan. Yeah, it's basically they open a book, there's the price.
And that's it.
And that's it.
And then you can't do anything.
Oh, you're talking about if you're getting a discount from an OEM or something?
Yeah.
Like family plan for Ford, friends and family.
I don't think that actually works for a majority of consumers, but...
Oh, in Detroit it does.
Yes. I say, you go into a dealer, you go into a General Motors or Ford dealership, even a Chrysler dealership.
You have a family member.
Yeah, it's like, you don't have one, let me call somebody.
So we have international listeners
first
here, Eric.
To
How are they going
to
walk in and ask for an A-plan or a...
Well, like...
There are GM plants in Canada.
There are code generators out there that Ford can do. They're available to get Ford X-Plan.
He turned a bag of popcorn into a bowl!
Colonel likes his Orville Red.
They were buds. They went to college together.
Surely.
I do adore your necktie, sir. I do yours.
Those are genteel times. But great job, Michelle. Thank you for your tips, your insight, your expert analyses. Now you know. And I do believe we have a show, folks. We've wrapped this puppy
That's
up.
That's one in the can.
With scarcely past an hour. So good job, everyone. Good hustle. So... Eric Tritko, Mr. Rumblestrip.
Yes.
Rumblestrip.net, Rumblestrip on Twitter.
Yes. Yes and yes.
You know what to do.
Friend me, like me, read my stuff, send me money.
Like me.
Please.
And if you happen to be a decision maker at an auto dealership, get a hold of me and we talk to you about what I can do for your social media program.
There he's got $5,000 and a Ranger, and he's ready to make a deal.
Yeah. Unless you're high.
And then if you are, I can make you a real good deal. So.
Well, thanks for joining us, Eric. We do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Michelle Naranjo.
Yes?
Joey Naranjo.
I have the honor of being the only one of you, out of all of you, who's hugged Zach this week.
True.
Oh, well,
it is an honor.
Spent many hours with Zach and never been impulsed to hug him.
Aw.
Your loss.
That's not true, Craig. We all know that's not true.
Craig
and I rode around in a convertible Camaro together, so that's a special bond.
It has the V-Type 8-cylinder engine.
It did.
Yeah.
How you feeling, girl?
Nauseated after hearing that, Ben. Like Michelle Naranjo, autobytel.com.
Horse by Telegraph?
Could say that.
Yes, absolutely. Horse by Telegraph.
When is this new website you speak of launching?
Before July, and I am getting ready to start traveling sort of a bunch for the next month. But I will be here for the days I'm supposed to be on Fridays.
Speaking of horses, sounds like a dog and pony show to me.
It is a bit of a dog and pony show. I'm going to be taking Joy, my horse, and May, my dog.
How do you travel with horses?
Take them in the Z3, because that would be awesome.
Yeah, and I'm going to be going to every manufacturer in the country. I've got to start taking the website around to preview it to everyone. And so I'm going to Detroit, you guys.
Can you preview it to us?
I can soon. Next week I can. So I think we should have a tweet up on the 27th.
Okay.
June.
Oh, well, you just said traveling
the 27th.
Soon.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you heard it here first, folks. Michelle Naranjo will be in the Motor City in and around the 27th of June. So, friend us.
Yeah, follow us and friend us on Facebook, and we will let you know when that happens.
Absolutely. Yeah, it'll be – you can always find out more about, my Twitter, Miss Motormouth. But – and then we have Open Line on July 5th.
Correct.
So very nice. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Quaggy.
Thank you. Mr. Zach Bowman, back once again.
Yep.
He can't stay away.
Can't keep me away.
Yeah, even when he doesn't.
Be honest, this is way more fun than the Autoblog podcast.
He won't be honest.
That's probably true. I don't know. It's on par.
This one doesn't pay as well, though.
Yeah, it does not pay as well. That's factored into the
podcast. I have noticed that all of a sudden, for some strange reason, you can watch and listen to the Autoblog podcast live on Ustream. I wonder where that idea came from.
It did not come from me, brother. I don't have an expletive to do with that.
Ever modest. But Zach Bowman, autoblog.com. The real Autoblog, I understand, on Twitter.
Yeah, and you know, if you're checking out our beta site, which you should, all of our tweets are getting funneled straight into that page. So I have to be careful about what I tweet about these days.
Beta site. Wow.
Keep it clean. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm gonna have a bunch of neat features coming up. As Michelle knows, did the 2012 Accent, 2012 Genesis. That should be this week. And I've got reviews for the Panamera and the 740, and should have one on the GMC 2500 Denali coming up soon, too. So
damn.
Well, keep an eye out for this.
Busy Beaver.
Yes.
You could say. Zach, thank you again for your time. We always appreciate having you. Welcome back whenever you'd like.
Thank you very much, Craig.
Remember, you can watch Roundabout Live every Friday evening starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time or 3:30 on the West Coast. We have a Google Voice account if you'd like to get in touch with us via talking.
You
can do that. The ROAB hotline is 1-559-ROAB-411. Again, that's 1-559-762-2411. Drop us a voicemail. We would love to hear from you. We're doing the social media stuff. We're on Twitter at twitter.com/roundaboutshow. Of course, we're on Facebook as well, facebook.com/roundaboutshow. If you can't find us, search for us. It's pretty easy. We're around. We'd love to get in touch with you. If you never want to miss an action-packed episode, you can subscribe to Roundabout on either iTunes or the Zune Marketplace or elsewhere fine podcasts are available.
Stitcher, for instance.
Exactly. Or I understand like the RSS feed or something.
Absolutely. Just use iTunes. Just submit to our will.
No. Anyway, just a quick programming note. We will be off the internet airwaves next week. Ben, the Colonel, and myself are heading up north to Michigan's Upper Peninsula for the St. Ignace Car Show, a big event up there, so we will not be having a roundabout next week.
But be sure to check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/roundaboutshow and follow us on Twitter. Mm-hmm. At twitter.com/roundaboutshow
from the Upper Peninsula.
Yeah, we'll be putting photos up there and all kinds of stuff. And we may even do an impromptu show. It all depends on, you know, who we get up there, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying.
Sounds like a plan. Thanks to all of you out there listening, and please join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We'll talk to you then, and Ben is hovering his finger over top of his trackpad. And anxiously waiting to play a sound effect. Oh, okay.
So painful.
You and the horse you rode in here on.
So, Michelle.
Yeah.
Are you you gonna read your thing or?
Yeah, sorry. I just realized I was looking at it going, what does that say?
Are you wearing a Snuggie?
It's a slanket.
No!
Zach.
I think it goes with that Rolls Royce.
It's a really big 80s sweater, okay?
It kind of looks like a Snuggie from here. Especially when you lean back and did like the bear thing.
You know what's awesome is it kind of feels like a Snuggie.